Evening. Good to see you. Glad that you're here tonight. We're going to have a good time. You know, Jesus said, my Father's house shall be called a house of
prayer.
Jesus' central definition of the church is a house of prayer. Jesus' central desire for the church is that it be a house of prayer. You know, every environment you enter requires a protocol. Every environment you enter on earth requires a protocol. There's a protocol required if you were to meet the Queen of England. You can't act just any way you want to act. There's an accepted, appropriate way to address her. Soldiers employ protocol when saluting their commanding officers. It's required. Dignitaries require dignity. So if there's a protocol to meet human beings, it's no surprise that there are protocols required to address God. So we did a little study on this, came up with 18 biblical protocols for prayer, mandates on how to address God, how to approach the throne of God. So tonight, rather than me just teach about prayer, we're going to employ the protocols and we're going to practice them tonight. Now, you don't enter the presence of God. You don't address God apart from respect and honor. So a protocol is just an appropriate way to address people or to address situations. It's a propriety. It has to do with a procedure. And every environment you enter will require a protocol. The way you would greet people at Walmart would be different than the way you would address royalty. It's just different. So, what are the biblical protocols for prayer? How does God require that we address him? Well, there's three of them found in Psalm 100. So, I invite your attention to Psalm 100 in your Bible tonight. Psalm 100, right in the middle of your Bible. Get that handy, and then we're going to read out loud this psalm tonight. Psalm 100. And then we're going to tackle five of the identified protocols tonight. Psalm 100, let's stand to our feet. Pastor Mix is going to help us read out loud in unison. Psalm 100, together, please.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
All right, the first one we're going to approach tonight is what I'm calling the gratitude protocol. Now, notice on the screen, if you would, Psalm 100. Notice verse 4. It says, enter into his gates with
thanksgiving.
Say that out loud. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. It's the gratitude protocol. You can be seated. One man said this. He said, I've been given so much, I don't have time to ponder what I've been denied. And your initial approach to God must be with gratitude. Now, the Bible says, to enter into his gates. That's the threshold into the throne of God. It's the doorway into the presence of God. We're to enter his gates with thanksgiving, to approach the Lord with thanksgiving. One man said, you can take things for granted, or you can take things with gratitude, but you can't take them both ways. Don't get so busy adding up your troubles that you forget to count your blessings. This is the gratitude protocol. God says, come into his presence with thanksgiving. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, God gives and God forgives. God gives and God forgives. And God's giving and forgiving call for our thanksgiving. When God gives you something, thank him. When God forgives you for something, thank him. And if you ever find yourself to be discouraged, you ought to always consider your present position in light of your former condition. And I'm telling you, that will cause for much thanksgiving. Now, not only should we thank God for giving us the sins that we've committed and confessed, we really should thank God for the sins we didn't commit. Now, what you've done might have been bad, but you could have done a whole lot worse. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, who knows what cliffs we would have sailed off of. How many are thankful for the restraining grace of God in your life that's held you back, diverted you from sure disaster on more than one occasion? And don't feel so bad about the mistakes and stuff that you did. What you've done is inconsequential to what you might have done. So we ought to thank God for the things that we didn't do. Now, Thanksgiving is always in season. Thanksgiving is always in season. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. The Bible says, giving thanks always for all things. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So I'll give you a little tip. You know, when you get in some tight spots, when things are not going well, when you're getting hit with problem after problem after problem, and you get so baffled and so bewildered and so bothered that you can't even pray, you don't know how to pray, you don't know what to say, you get in this position, I'll tell you how to handle it. I live out in the country. How many know that living in the country is superior to living on Francolia Highway? How many know that? Do you understand that? Yeah, there's stuff you can do in the country you can't get away with in the city. I'm just telling you. There's stuff you can, and one of the things you can get away with better in the country is praying out loud. Now, we live out in the country near Smith Mountain Lake. Our house is up kind of on the hill, about 500 feet down the way. We have an office building, which is a pole barn, but it's our office building. And sometimes when I get perplexed, overwhelmed, I'll just get out in that little gravel driveway down to the office, and I'll begin to walk, and here's what I do. I lift my hands toward heaven. 17 times in the Word of God it says to lift holy hands, by the way. That's not metaphorical. That was literal. Just like modesty wasn't metaphorical, it was literal. And you know what I'll do? Here's what I'll do. Thank you, Jesus. 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 And about 50 yards of giving thanks to God helps me feel better about my situation. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And just come before him with gratitude. I'm just telling you, sometimes you need to go on a quarantine of thanksgiving. Quit asking all the time and just start thanking for several days. You say, what if you need something? Well, thank him for it before you get it. That's what faith is anyhow. Now, William Romaine said that gratitude to God makes even a temporal blessing a taste of heaven. Have you noticed that thankful people are grateful? Have you noticed that unthankful people are never happy? They're the ones that's protesting and burning the cities down. They're mad. And the problem lies, but anyhow, happy people, thankful people tend to be happy people. Now, Neil Strait said, he who forgets the language of gratitude can never be on speaking terms with happiness. Now, listen, instead of teaching about prayer for 60 minutes, we're going to implement what we're talking about. My personal belief is that conservative churches have been really good on teaching the Bible, but very weak on implementing what we teach. And if we want to have any life in our church, it's going to be more than a head trip. It's going to be more than more information. It's going to be more than more doctrine, more learning. There's got to be some practice, and that's why the Bible says, it doesn't say think about the gates of thanksgiving. It says enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So let's have some gratitude prayer tonight. Let's practice the gratitude protocol, and let's for about 60, 90 seconds, let's thank God for everything we can think of. Let's not ask God for anything. Let's just thank God for everything we can think of. Some of you are in groups. So if you're in a group, grab a partner, stand to your feet, 90 seconds, and pray out loud, giving God thanks for every blessing you can think of. Let's practice this protocol. Father, thank you for the grace and mercy of God. Go ahead and pray out loud. Lord, thank you for the blessings of forgiveness. Thank you for the power of the blood. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness and restraining grace. And Father, thank you for giving and forgiving. Thank you, Lord, for so many powerful blessings, Father. What an incredible advantage this is. Lord, I just give you blessing. I just give you thanks. I just give you praise, Lord. Oh, our Heavenly Father, thank you for instructing us on how to approach you with a grateful heart and with thanksgiving. Father, we enter into your gates with our gratitude this evening. We're giving you praise for speaking our hearts in advance. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Now, notice if you would here, what I'm calling the cleansing protocol. Cleansing protocol. Let's read this. We talked about this morning. Now read this out loud. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord?
Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart.
All right, who's going to stand up in the holy place of God? Who's going to ascend into the holy place, hill of the Lord? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. Cleansing is required to approach a holy God. Now, clean hands is talking about actions or deeds. Pure heart's talking about attitudes and motivations, inward things. The word clean means innocent, spotless, guiltless. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. A.W. Tozer said, when God declares a man righteous, he instantly sets about to make him righteous. Who will ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's going to come into the immediate presence of God? Well, he that has clean hands and a pure heart. Now notice it says clean. It doesn't say cleaner. It doesn't say better. It doesn't say improved. It says clean. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, I grew up on a tobacco farm about 3.5 hours south of here, middle of nowhere. And I know that you city slickers have no conception of what this is like. You ought to practice the gratitude protocol right there. That if you have never worked in that filthy weed, then you are blessed indeed. But we would get it summertime, you know, we'd go out to harvest the tobacco crop. You had to pick the leaves from the bottom up. Took about several pickings or pulling to get them all in. But what we would do is we would get down these rows of tobacco and we would pick the leaves off, put them under our arm like this, hard on the old back, you know, when you're tall. And then we'd put them in a container, send them to the barn, string them up, put them in the barn to heat, take about a week to cure the crop. Well, in the morning, it was wet and it was chilly. But when the dew burned off and the sun came out, 90 some degrees, hot, humid, and rubbing up against those tobacco plants would cause the tar to be deposited on our arm. Now, I'm not making this up. After you've worked in a tobacco field for about 10 or 12 hours, we weren't very smart, so we didn't have long sleeve shirts, we had on short sleeve shirts. But the tars and the resins from the plant would cake up on our arm and would be about 3/16 of an inch deep. I mean, it was just like asphalt. It was just like, it is tar. You don't want to put that mess in your lungs. But by the way, nicotine is like health food compared to the poisons that we had to put on that stuff so the bugs wouldn't eat it up. Okay, so here we are. And we, at the end of the day, we've got this deposit of tar caked up on the hair on our arms. And our bodies are discolored with yellow nicotine. We look like we had jaundice or something. And my brother and I would rush to the house. We'd get in the shower. We'd pull out the lava soap. How many know what lava soap is all about? Pumice. Then we get a scrub net. And I ain't making this up. It'd take about 40 minutes. Kind of like great stuff. I mean, it'd take about 40 minutes to dislodge all that tar. And whenever we came out of the shower, man, it sure felt good to be clean. And you know, it's good to feel clean in the presence of God. It's good to feel the blood applied. He bore our sins that we might have his righteousness. He took our guilt that we might have his grace. He took our shame that we might have his smile. He took our punishment that we might have his peace. He took our death that we might have his life. And he took our penalty that we might have his pardon. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all unrighteousness. Say that out loud. All unrighteousness. Now this is good news. Samuel Logan, the old Salvation Army guy, said, righteousness is conformity to the divine law. Righteousness is conformity to the divine law, but holiness is conformity to the divine nature. Now, how does a person get clean hands and a pure heart? If the only way we can get into the throne room of heaven and find audience with God is through the cleansing, how does a person get clean hands and a pure heart? Well, you get clean by coming clean. You get clean by coming clean. If we confess, admit, agree with God about our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the word confess means to just agree. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, what this means is to say the same thing about our sin that God says about it. Lord, I agree, that was wrong. My reaction was wrong. My words were wrong. My thoughts about the drivers in Northern Virginia were wrong. No, they were right. But that was unrighteous indignation. But anyhow, I mean, they're very impatient up here. I get along good with them. Say the same thing. Now, look, here's another tip. Never confess the same identical sin twice. You know, sometimes you feel so bad about what you did, you feel like you need to do an installment plan on confession and then hit it again. But really, that's unbelief. Because God said if you confess, he will forgive. So if you confess the same thing twice, that's an indication you didn't believe God forgave you the first time. So only confess your sin to God one time. And then after you've confessed your sin, immediately launch into the Thanksgiving gratitude protocol. Now, Proverbs 28:13, he that covers his sin, he that conceals his sin, he that tries to hide his sin, like Adam and Eve behind the trees in the Garden of Eden. This need a bigger bush up here. He that covers his sins, it's not going to... This is a cheap church, man. That's an artificial fern. You need the real thing up here. What's wrong with you, Pastor? I'm only kidding. Don't fall out. But anyhow, and he that covers his sins, conceals, hides, ain't going anywhere. But whoever confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. So what you need when you mess up is a quick recovery. You say, well, what does that mean? If you mess up, fess up. Admit it, quit it, forget it. Say that out loud. Admit it, quit it, forget it. Admit it. Whoever confesses his sins, admit it, and forsake it, quit it, shall have mercy, forget it. And I'm just telling you, we need to learn this quick recovery. We don't have to do penance for 3 weeks. We don't have to hope around under a cloud of guilt and condemnation to appease God. What kind of theology is this anyhow? It ain't Bible theology, I can assure you of that. So launch into the gratitude protocol immediately after confessing sins. Now, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Well, he that has clean hands, he that has a pure heart. Now, that's the guy that's going to stand in the throne room of heaven. It's the cleansing protocol. Do we see that? That's it's a requirement. Now, it's the blood that makes us clean. And it's admitting and agreeing with God that secures this favor and grace of God as far as restoration of fellowship. So why don't we practice the cleansing protocol? And if there's any cloud between you and God, any stain, any dark part, let's make for the light. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Well, let's get right into the light. And I found out that God's people love to get in the light and bring the dark things out and put them beneath the blood because we want to be clean in the sight of God. And we have the provision, but we have to be honest. So let's do this tonight. Kneel or bow your heart, 90 seconds, 2 minutes. Let's practice the cleansing protocol and let's confess any unconfessed sin and then let's thank God profusely for forgiving us. Let's practice the cleansing protocol. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you're satisfied with the sacrifice your Son has made on our behalf to where we can be thoroughly cleared and right with God and clean by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Notice, if you would, protocol number 3. It's also found in Psalm 100. Read it out loud with me. Enter into his courts with praise. Do that one more time. Enter into his courts with praise. In other words, come before the Lord with laud and honor to pay tribute, to glorify, to praise the Lord. Then listen to this verse. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. How many know that's in the King James Version?
Amen.
What does this mean? Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. That's what it means. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. You ever read these Psalms? I mean, some of these people got carried away. Yeah. Obviously, they were before our time. Now, notice, if a word of discouragement opens the door for the enemy, then a word of praise closes it and locks it. Paul and Silas had cast out that demon from that fortune-telling woman, and the people didn't like it because they lost their income when she got rid of demons. So they brought him before the magistrates. They beat him. They slapped him in prison, put him in the inner part of the prison. It was around midnight hour. You know what Paul and Silas were doing? Trying to get a hold of the Hebrew Law Association to file a lawsuit. Or did they get a hold of the Jewish Discrimination Board? No, what were they doing? The Bible says at the midnight hour, they prayed and sang praises to God. And here they are, beat up. Here they are, the body, limbs are in locks and stocks, you know. And here they are doing what? Praying and singing praises to God. They were praising the Lord. It's the praise protocol. It's the praise protocol. Now, brothers and sisters, instead of complaining about how the culture has gone crazy, which it absolutely has, we need to understand it's normal for sinners to sin. And when there's no restraint because there's no power in the church, then you got what we got now. But instead of being all in the dumps about all of that and wishing that Mayberry RFD would come back sometime, somehow, some way, it ain't coming back. A&B has kicked the bucket. Otis died of cirrhosis. And even Andy and Barney are dead as well. Just get over all of that. And you're going to have to learn how to praise God in the midst of a culture that is no longer leaning toward a Christian consensus. That's all there is to it. And that's the truth, what I just said right there. Okay? Now, they prayed and sang praises to God. The praise protocol. Now, God enjoys praise. He inhabited the praises of Israel. He lived in the midst of praise. How come churches, we always sing? Well, God loves to be praised. It's the praise protocol. That's the way he told us to approach him, to come into his courts with praise. Now, John Baptist, what an unusual guy, full of the Holy Ghost from the womb. You ever think about that? Man, I mean, what does this mean? Full of the Holy Ghost before he was ever born. Well, here he is in Elizabeth's womb, his mother's womb. Here comes Mary with the divine Son of God in her womb. And when John, full of the Holy Spirit, got in proximity to the Son of God, he leaped in his mother's womb. You ever read that? Is that what it says? What does it mean? He got all charged up, brother. Had a little animation going on there. Had a little exuberance going on there. That's another protocol, by the way. The exuberance protocol. And he just couldn't keep still. And I found out that, white people have a hard time expressing their emotions in religious things. How many of you know that? That's just the way it is. But, brother, I just found out over the years that when I get in an atmosphere saturated with the presence of God, it calls for some exaltation, some exuberance, and, brother, some animation. I'm just telling you. It's the praise protocol. I hope you enjoy praising the Lord. That's why I like the prayer advance. I mean, when the cow gets out of the barn, brother, you just can't hardly help yourself sometimes, even if you're a rigid brother. You know, even if you are a black bumper Baptist, I mean, you can hardly help but enjoy the presence of God. Now, David got carried away one time, so much so, here he is. He was out there strutting around, dancing around. Of course, his wife fell out with him, and she was smitten with barrenness. And long-faced Pharisees are always smitten with barrenness, by the way. But old David was out there enjoying the Lord. Now, if you never get so full that you can't stand it, you need to get full of the right thing. You know what I'm amazed by, church people? How excited they get about the football games. And I'm not talking about today, because you're here. But I go out to Denver quite a bit. So we go to the church, you know, and there we are. Got on our straight jackets. Got on our somber face, the old pickle vaccination faces. But then after service, go to the pastor's house. Man, they're excited about the Broncos. And you know, it's 30 below zero. Good night. The guys have ripped their shirts off, painted their chest, dyed their hair, screaming like a bunch of maniacs. Nobody thinks this is out of the ordinary. Nobody thinks this is out of place. Well, if they can get excited about I'm going to be judicious, a football game, then I think we got every right for the high praises of God to be in our mouth to our God. And I don't think God's dishonored by a little excitement. I was in a meeting not long ago with my friends. Well, they got to singing and carrying on. And, I got a little charged up over there, you know. And by the way, God's people don't have to look like Spock from the old Star Trek. Emotionless, passionless, cool, calm, you know, lobotomized. I don't think that's the way a child of God ought to be. And so I was in this meeting. I got a little excited. And I just couldn't hardly help myself. And my friend came up and he said, Harold, he said, if you keep acting like this, you're going to have to find yourself a new crowd. He was serious. You know what I determined? I found my crowd at the prayer advance last week, and I'm going to get in there and praise God with whoever wants to praise God. That's where I'm going. Hebrews chapter 13, by him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Now, C.S. Lewis said praise is boasting about what you enjoy. Praise is boasting about what you enjoy. And the Bible says let the high praises of God be in their mouth, opening our mouths in thanksgiving and praise. Now, instead of counting your bruises, try counting your blessings. Listen to this one, William Secker. A drop of praise is an unsuitable acknowledgement for an ocean of mercy. And you know, when men cease to praise God adequately, they begin to praise one another excessively. You ever go to these big meetings? Well, we're so glad to have Dr. So-and-so here with us, and Dr. So-and-so, and Dr. Duflunky, and Dr. Whatever. And you know, when I go to meetings, you know, I'm amazed at the way people introduce me. I mean, I go places I've never been there. I don't know anybody. I'm overseas. Maybe they read something on the internet. I don't know where they can come up with all this stuff. But they stand up there, and then they will say, we're so privileged to have Dr. Vaughn with us here. And then they'll reel off a string of accomplishments. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, who are they talking about? And if my wife is there, I'll punch her and I'll say, honey, listen to what this man is saying. You got it a whole lot better than you ever imagined. Listen to what that man is saying about your husband up there. And they come off with all of this stuff. You know, when men cease to praise God adequately, they begin to praise one another excessively. And I just want to say this to you. The undue praise of men is an evidence of a lack of praise, proper praise of God. Now listen to a couple of verses, Revelation 4. The 4 and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne. That's the Lamb of God. That's who that is. And they worship him that liveth forever and ever. They cast their crowns before his throne, saying, thou art worthy to receive a glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they were created. Do you realize that praise will be your unending employment in eternity? If praise is going to be your chief employment in heaven, buddy, we better make it our noblest work on earth. I like what one guy said. He said, every worship service down here is rehearsal and is choir practice for heaven. Amen. So we're just warming up. And there's going to be some meeting there. Every tongue, every tribe, every kindred, every blood-bought person. Amen. Praise God. The whole crowd's going to be up there. And I'm just telling you, it gets a little raucous up there because the elders can hardly get on their seat, but what they have to fall back off their seat on their faces, throwing their crowns at the feet of Jesus. It's going to be something. Now listen, if you find it difficult to praise God for what's going on, you can always praise him for what's going to be. Because one day all of these troubles, thank God, cancer will be gone. Won't that be a blessing? COVID will be gone. Corrupt culture will be gone. Sin nature will be gone. Devil will be locked into a pit somewhere. Ooh. So if you can't praise God for what's going on here now, you can praise God for what's going to happen then. One man said, you praise God when you feel like it, or you praise God until you feel like it. It's kind of like that Thanksgiving thing. You just keep that up till you get to feeling better about the situation. Now, it says in the book of Acts that they were all there together. By the way, 53 references to the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts and 38 references to prayer. That's more than one reference to prayer per chapter for the book of Acts. And it says in verse chapter 4 that they lifted up their voices to God with one accord. The men and the women were in the prayer meeting.
That's right.
Check it out. The women prayed in the prayer meeting. Yes. We don't believe in that. Well, the Bible in the book of Acts believes in that. What's wrong with this? Come, I mean, get off of this, some of this stuff. Now, hang on here. They lifted up their voices to God with one accord. Do you realize that every Christian was a prayer meeting Christian in the early church?
That's right.
They wept together, worshiped together. I mean, they ate together. They suffered together. I mean, they lived together. They died together. They were in one accord, but one thing they did is they lifted up their voices to God. Voices, plural. I'm just going to take that means they all prayed out loud at one time. Because God don't have any problem deciphering every voice, no matter where. I don't understand it. I'm just going to believe it, you know. So tonight, let's practice the praise protocol. Okay, a little outside the box here tonight. How many think Alexandria needs to get outside the box a little bit? Amen. How many think Roanoke needs to get out of the box a little bit? Yeah. So let's practice the praise protocol. I want you to have 90 seconds of unbridled praise. I want you to praise God for every good thing you can think about his character and his nature and his being. And let's lift up our voices to God. I want you to open your mouth. I know that you're not used to this, but open up your mouth out loud. I believe we have a scriptural basis for it. And let's practice the praise protocol. Can you do that with me? Stand to your feet tonight. Open up your mouth. Pray out loud. 90 seconds of praise. Father, I praise you that you're a holy God. I praise you that you're a merciful God. I praise you that you're a kind, forgiving God. I praise you, Lord, that you are a holy God. Oh, God, how good you are. How good you've been. Lord, what a blessing, incredible God. Thank you. If Paul and Silas could sing praises to God, then surely we can sing praises to God as well. Oh, Father, bless you, praise you, worship you, honor you, magnify you, glorify you. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you from whom all blessings flow. God, you're worthy to be praised. So, Father, may the high praises of God be in our mouths regardless of our emotions, circumstances, or feelings. Father, teach us to practice coming into your courts every day with praise. We give you blessing and praise. Amen. You can be seated. We got another protocol here. We got 18 of them in the book, but here's one of them. I'm calling it the singing protocol. The singing protocol. It says there in Psalm 100. I can't read it. Read it out loud with me. Come before his presence with singing. Read it again. So God has told us to approach him with singing. It's a protocol. That's what he wants. Now, singing means to shout for joy. Come before his presence, that means celebration, rejoicing. Psalm 95, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto the Lord with psalms. Psalms are just songs. That's what a psalm is. It's the hymn book of the Old Testament. Now, this word joyful noise, do you know what that means? It means to split the ears. Check it out. You look it up in the Hebrew. Split the ears. A joyful noise. Sounds like to me they kind of got carried away. My wife tuned into a worship service this morning. She said the preacher was as hot as fire and the song service was as hot as fire. And they were just splitting the ears. In other words, there was exuberance there, sounding the alarm of triumph. And you know, every revival is characterized by heartfelt singing. Every one of them. Now, praise is proper response to greatness. Praise is proper response to greatness. So that's why God told us to praise him, thank him, and to come before his presence with singing. Colossians says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's the singing protocol. Do you see that? And you know, we sing when we come to church. You don't have to wait till you come to church. In fact, you ought to come before him every day with singing. Now, singing with grace in your heart. So singing to the Lord, from your heart to the Lord. Now, a few years back, I was very privileged within a two-week period to get into three revival atmospheres. One was in Carolina. There was 5,000-6,000 people under a tent or outside of a tent, 95 degrees. It was incredible. That thing went on for 12 weeks. There wasn't any unscriptural excesses. The preaching was sound, so relax. There were no snakes being handled, as far as I could tell. I mean, it was just an incredible atmosphere of worship and praise. It was wonderful. I was sitting in that tent on the back row with this dude from down in South Carolina, some pastor. I'd go out and get him a bottle of cold water and get me one. We was back there having ourselves a time. And then in front of us were two teenage boys, looked to be around 15. T-shirts, hats on backwards. And when they got to singing and carrying on, those boys stood up and praised the Lord. And I just tell you, the churches I go to, you don't see no 15-year-old boys openly praising God, hardly ever, sometimes, but very rarely. And I thought, and it was sound. It wasn't anything crazy. Relax. It was all good. From there, I went to the student prayer events. And you know what? A revival atmosphere. Young people, for the last 6 years, 5 years, the young people have sung just like they do at the men's prayer events. Man, they're all out. You know, they're over there praising God, having a big time, worshiping God. I just love it. It's wonderful. I went from there to an inner city church in New York City. 10,000 people show up at this church used to show up at this church every Sunday until COVID. And you know what? You talk about singing. Good night. I mean, wow. You talk about an atmosphere of love. Now, here's what I want to tell you. There was three different preaching styles. How many know that northern people and southern people have different cultural outlooks? So there's three different preaching styles, three different music styles, three different singing styles, but same Holy Spirit in all three places. I felt at home in all three of these places. And I'm just telling you, it was wonderful in a two-week period to be in these hyper-saturated atmospheres, man, where people are just got cleansed and, man, they get happy and full of the Lord and God and saving people. It's just incredible. It's just absolutely wonderful. Now, listen, God has given us three things to refresh our souls: nature, friendship, and music. Why do people go to the mountains or the ocean? Well, it refreshes them. How many are thankful for real friends? I mean, friends you can just be honest with. You tell them the truth and they like you anyhow, right? And friendship refreshes a soul, but there's a third thing that refreshes a soul. You know what it is? Music. By the way, your choir, stellar, just tremendous. I just thought it was great. Now listen to this. Before your devotions, you need to come before his presence with singing. Now, some of y'all can play guitars, play pianos. I mean, some of y'all can sing on key. Amazing. And if you can do that, have at it. But God created YouTube for the rest of us. And I know where to go to get the good stuff. And I just let you in a little tip right here. A little tip right here. Not trying to be too offensive here. I really don't care if it is or not. Because the Bible says, worship the Lord with what? Stringed instruments. With cymbals. Praise the Lord. Just check it out. Psalm 150. Just check it out. So you need to locate the songs, the music that elevates God in your mind. You need to identify those songs that help you to appreciate God and worship God and praise the Lord and make your little file on your phone or something. And every day when I'm home, you ask my wife, I'm out there in the sun. I got a sunroom, man. That's the best. If I ever build another house, no interior rooms. The whole house is going to be a sunroom. But I get out there in my recliner and I crank her up. And I know where to go. I know what I like. And, brother, I'm out there having myself a big time praising God, generally weeping before the Lord. It just helps me. It just helps me. Now, listen, you're to come before his presence with singing. Now, that's not just on Sunday. And again, those of you that have talent, wow, that's wonderful. Just have yourself a little praise fest. But the rest of us, we need help. We don't have the voice to sing and can't stay on key if we had a voice anyhow. So we need help, but thank God we have some help. And I'm just telling you, it's the singing protocol that liberates your soul and exalts the Lord in your mind. Come before his presence with what? Singing. So let's practice the singing protocol. I want us to do it a little different. I want us to sing that song, that hymn, Amazing Grace, stanza one, and then the second stanza. We're going to have the same tune, but we're going to have two words. Praise God. Ain't you ever heard that done that way? Stand to your feet. We're going to sing this Amazing Grace. Now make this from your heart to the heart of God, bragging upon the grace of God. Let's sing it together out loud from our heart to the heart of God. Let's sing it. Amazing. Your heart to the heart of God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's sing it to that tune. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. We're going to look at one more protocol tonight. It's called the faith protocol. The faith protocol. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God, he that approaches God, must believe that God is and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. It's the faith protocol. It's a requirement. Now, you can't approach God apart from faith. The only way you can relate to God is by faith. You can't relate to God with your physical senses. Yeah, you don't relate to God with touch, taste, hear, see, or smell. No, you relate to the physical world with your physical senses. So you have to relate to God with the sixth sense, which is faith. Now, F.B. Meyer said, faith makes giants look like grasshoppers. Faith makes giants look like grasshoppers, but unbelief makes grasshoppers look like giants. Unbelief always considers it too late or too soon for God to work. Unbelief always considers it is too soon or it's too late for God to work, but faith expects God to work now. So learn to pray with exclamation points instead of question marks. We got to get over our timidity, cautiousness, which is cover for unbelief. All right, now listen to this. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. Man's extremity is God's opportunity, and the sphere in which God does his greatest work is the sphere in which no one but God can work. Did you know prayer can turn a promise into a prophecy? Why did God give us promises? Well, to claim them. And prayer can turn a promise into a prophecy. I mean, when God quickens something to your heart, just go for it. Spurgeon said, believing supplication are forecast of the future. Believing prayers are forecast of the future. Now, I believe we pray the future into existence. I believe the kingdom of God is prayed into existence. That's why he told us to pray for his kingdom, his rule, his rulership, his reign, to be his authority to be extended in the earth. And the whole idea of prayer is to implement the will of God on earth as it is in heaven and pray the future into the present. That's what prayer is all about. So, and all of these promises on prayer, and there's so many of them. Have you ever read some of these things? Man, at face value, they're staggering. Whatever you believe, you will receive. Wow. And just look, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it's going to be open. I mean, good night, these levels of prayer. So faith is the only doorway for God to enter a human soul. Nobody ever got saved apart from faith. They place their faith in Christ's finished work. And the only way we can relate to God in sanctification and in our Christian life is by faith. We can't walk by sight. I mean, if we're not learning anything under COVID, nothing's going to be normal ever again, probably. So forget sight. Forget trying to figure everything out. Forget trying to strategize what it's going to be like next year. Try planning a prayer advance when you don't know what your governor's going to do next week. Try it. Just see how that works out for you. I'm just telling you. So we got to take things by faith. And we're going to have to take the church by faith. We're going to have to go forward by faith. We're going to have to believe God. And never mind all the arguments and all of the stuff that can happen. Who knows? Who cares? Well, the early church wasn't in some sort of a picnic playground and nursery rhyme. I mean, the whole world was against them, but they had the power of God, and they saw some miracles, didn't they? They saw some miracles. Now, let me give you a couple. We are at the ladies' prayer advance one year back when. Down the road here in Fredericksburg is Mama Carter. Mama Carter. She's my adopted mother. You know, when your birth mother dies, you got to take matters in your own hands. So I adopted her as Mama. I like her. We're buds. I might go see her tomorrow afternoon. I don't know. But anyhow, her daughter was at a prayer advance years ago, and we were praying impossible prayer requests, not things that are probable or possible, but, man, we're praying stuff only God could do. It was an impossible prayer request. Nothing is impossible with God. So her daughter was there. And guess what her daughter's prayer was? For her mother. Her mother lived in Philadelphia at the time. She needed a kidney transplant. The physicians in Philadelphia told her she was too old and there's nothing they would do. But she came down to Richmond, found a physician who said, you find a kidney and I'll do the transfer. Now, that daughter was burdened for her mother because if she didn't get a kidney, she was going to die. So she was praying that God would supply her mother with a kidney without killing somebody to do it. Huh? So would you believe she prayed that prayer, that impossible prayer request, went home. Would you believe there were two women in the church of a different race who said, God has impressed us to give you one of our kidneys if we're a match. Not one, two. Can you believe this? And the first one was a match. So they went down to Richmond, swapped out, came back to the prayer advance next year. Here's old Mama Carter up here. She's a happy soul. She's up here. Here's the donor over here. And here's the daughter up here telling the story about how God had supplied a kidney for her mother to extend her life. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. I was in Champaign, Illinois, got into a little move of God out there. Oh, it was some incredible 2 weeks. We extended, kept on going. Second week, man, lost people, began to flock in. Amazing. By the way, when God shows up, all God's children show up. And not only that, God's non-children show up. We had one old lost boy. He had enough buckshot in his face, and he'd never get through the airport metal detector. This guy, he was loaded up, and he got in a prayer meeting with a bunch of Christians who were confessing their sins. You should have heard. This happened every day. We had prayer meetings, like, all the time. And this guy, this lost guy, after hearing these Christians confessing their sins, you should have heard him confess his sins. Well, he came to the Lord, and then his girlfriend was in the meetings. You ever see people who don't have any skin left because it's all covered with a tattoo? That was her. I don't think you can find a square inch, at least where I could see anyhow, that wasn't covered up with ink of some sort. She came. Well, she got up there in front of the church one night. She said, "I'm happier now than I've ever been in my entire life." And there was just miracles left and right. It was incredible. Well, there was a lady in the church who had prayed for her husband to be saved for 30 years. He was antisocial, bipolar, name all those three-letter psychological problems. He had a pile of them. And they told him that he'd never be normal, he'd never hold a job. And you know what he did? He believed him. He believed him. And for 30 years, he couldn't hold a job, couldn't go out in public, couldn't go to the store, couldn't come to church, couldn't do anything. But his wife had prayed for him for all those years. He came the second week. He came Monday night, sat in the back. I still see him sitting back there with his coveralls on. And you look at him, you'd say, he's got some issues. But thank God he's here. He sat for 2 hours and didn't leave and didn't get nervous. It was like the demoniac, seated, clothed in his right mind. Came the second night, third night, fourth night, I think it was, he got born again. The next night, here's a guy, can't even go in a grocery store, can't even go in public, stood before that packed house and told how the grace of God had found him out and he had been saved. Now look, listen to me. He wasn't completely healed of every problem, but he was substantially healed of a lot of problems. And you know, he began to come to church. He was in church for years after that. He was in church every time he wasn't sick. He worked in the Awana program. He was substantially bettered in so many different ways. He was a pleasant guy. God gave him some peace in his heart. And by the way, when you don't have peace, it's wonderful to have some peace. Amen. And he came. And you know, till the day that he died, he served the Lord in the capacities that he had. A notable miracle. Nothing is impossible with God. My wife and I were in Danville, Illinois with Pastor Reber. And he took us over to Champaign, Illinois at the Biagi's restaurant, which is the best. Am I right or wrong? The best, in my opinion, Italian restaurant I've ever been in. So he's over there. And man, we're, you know, slapping it up, having a big time, you know, olive oil and all that stuff. And the pastor began to tell us about his kidney stone episode. Now, how many know that some things are just appropriate to talk about with marinara sauce on the table? I mean, you just don't want to go into detail here. Well, he went into all kinds of details, you know. And so we got up to leave. His wife, my wife, went to the car. Me and the pastor, we came out of the restaurant. He doubled over in writhing pain. I mean, he couldn't walk. He was in agony. Well, I managed to get him to the car. And my wife looked back and saw him doubled over in agony. And she said to his wife, "I think your husband's sick." And his wife didn't even look back. "He'll be fine. He'll be fine." Now, I give you ladies a little tip. When your husband is sick, he needs some sympathy. He needs some pity. He's a wimp. And you need to make out like you care whether you do or not. All right, but he'll be fine. He'll be fine. And my wife said, "I don't think he's going to be fine." So I got him in the passenger seat. I hopped in behind the wheel, made off to the hospital where the other kidney stone thing got taken care of. He had another kidney stone. Would you believe it? So we checked him in, and the doctor said it's going to be 24, probably 48 hours before this thing clears out. We're in his church having a prayer summit. A prayer summit. So I went back to church Saturday night. Pastor's in the hospital. I said, How many of you think we ought to pray the prayer of faith and ask God for the kidney stone to get reconciled and the pastor be here in the morning for church? They all said amen. We prayed the prayer of faith. We asked God. And by the way, God is not insulted when you ask big stuff. Paul asked for the thorn to be taken away. It wasn't taken away, but that didn't keep him from asking. So don't be so cautious about all that kind of stuff. And don't be afraid somebody's going to accuse you of being a Pentecostal. Y'all ain't got nothing to worry about right here at First Baptist Church. Ain't nobody going to accuse you of anything close to that. All right, so don't worry about it. Just get over the fear of man, for crying out loud. And we prayed the prayer of faith. You know what happened? By 1 o'clock, the kidney stone was gone. He was at home in bed. 9 o'clock the next morning, here he is, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Nothing's impossible with God. And you know, brothers, listen, I know some of us have some mountain, momentous things in front of us. Well, the prayer of faith is a good thing. It's just a good thing. You know, when cancer came to our house, I called up my friend Ralph Satura, a very conservative kind of guy. And I said, hey, Ralph, how are you supposed to pray for sick people? You know what he said? He said, Harold, when you pray for sick people, you always pray in faith, believing. When you pray for sick people, you always pray in faith, believing. And that way, if God chooses not to heal, at least it wasn't your unbelief that missed the miracle. And I said, I can live with this. I'm going with this. And I want to say something to you. When people are sick or hurting or depressed and think everything, do you have any conception what it means for somebody to pray with exclamation points instead of question marks? Do you have any idea what that means to a hurting person, to find somebody that's believing God that they're going to get better? It means the world to people. It means the world to people. I was one time getting a bone scan, sitting in the room, and I'm so ignorant, I didn't know how serious this was. But in the bone scan section, ain't nobody talking. Ain't nobody watching Jerry Springer on TV. You know what they're doing? The whole crowd is sitting there like, because this is serious. So here was this guy sitting over here. So I just got up and walked over and I said to him, I said, hey, brother. Hey, man. I said, what's going on with you? So he told me. I said, be hard if we prayed the prayer of faith. Would you like for somebody to pray for you, the prayer of faith that God would raise you? He said, boy, I sure would. So we prayed over him. We're down at Cancer Treatment Centers of America near Atlanta. And, you know, people that have advanced cancer, they look like they have advanced cancer. And they have these little tags on. So here we are trying to unload the car. And here's this guy from Tennessee. And I said, hey, man, what's going on? Well, I knew what was going on to some degree. And he told me what was going on. And here we are in the entrance, blocking the entrance in the Town Play Suites. And I said to him and his wife, hey, would you like for us to pray for you? Would you like for somebody? Boy, we sure would. He took off his hat. We had a little holy huddle going right there. You know, God pressed on my heart to help him out with a little donation. But the biggest donation was the prayer of faith. I'm just telling you, nothing is impossible with God. Richard Elaine said, God normally answers us according to our expectations. So if you have God-sized needs, you need God-sized answers. And be encouraged, nothing is impossible with God. So we got nothing to lose. We got everything to gain. So why not just approach God? If you're going to come to God, you got to come with faith. Because he that comes to God must believe that God is and must believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So it's a requirement, right? God is pleased by faith. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. The just shall live by faith. Whatever's not of faith is sin. I mean, look at all of this. So it's the faith protocol. And I think that God is honored when we come to him with stuff that's bigger than us, but nothing is too big for him. So tonight, let's implement the faith protocol, and let's just pray some perhaps impossible requests. Maybe you got something really big in front of you, your family, something really big. Or you know somebody that's really going through something. Boy, they need a divine touch. They need a miracle. Why don't we just pray the prayers of faith tonight? And then Pastor Mix will come and close us in a few moments. But I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to find one other person. Exchange your main prayer burden, your perhaps your impossible prayer request. And let's just spend a little time tonight asking and believing God. So you just pray. Find somebody, if you could, if you would, and just pray some impossible prayer requests tonight, okay?
Service with us for a while, and I want to pray over him before we close. Our Father, I want to say thank you for this man and his family who I love dearly, and Father, they've embraced me and been my friend, and Father, I am thankful for them. I ask God you'd build a hedge of protection about he and his family as they're apart. I ask God in the name of Jesus Christ that you would let him fulfill his mission for our nation with honor and a job well done as he returns to his family. I pray, Father, that you would continue to meet the physical and financial needs of both he and his family. And Father, that you would care for each of them as they're apart. And God, you would continue to strengthen them and speak to their hearts comforting words as they're apart. I ask, Father, as he is overseas representing us, I pray, Father, please, he embodies the best of us to the nations around him. And Father, that they'll see Jesus Christ through him. I pray, Father, that you'd bless his family, who's a fine testimony in their neighborhood. And God, they already project you and allow you to work and shine through them to their neighbors. And I'm thankful for that ministry. And I ask God that you would continue to shine through his wife and his children. And God, as times of sorrow come, as they part, I pray, God, you'd continue to bless them and with sweetness. and kindness toward each other and affection as they have to do this over the internet and over telephone lines. I pray, God, you'd keep them close to each other and close to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name because we know you're going to return him to us. And we'll rejoice when he comes home. In Christ's name, amen.
I love you, my brother. I love you, brother.
Amen. Thank you. Let's just, we don't need an invitation, Mrs. Max. We're fine, I think. Nah, we're fine. Thank you. All right. Was that good or what? Amen. I told Brother Harry.